A podcast that shines a light on the positive, healthy, hopeful projects going on in Humboldt County. We'll talk about things that are happening to help everyone live a better life and what things you can do in your corner of the world. Look, we know about the problems. We talk about them, read about them in the news, and see it every day too. That's what drives us to want better and to be part of the good. My name is Juliette Ferry, and I will be your host of the Humboldt Healthcast, which is another community project of the Humboldt IPA here in Eureka. To introduce myself, I work as a wellness coach for the clinical branch of the IPA called the Priority Care Center, which is on Harrison Ave in Eureka. People meet with me when they're ready to make a lifestyle change, like eating healthier, moving more, quitting nicotine, getting better sleep, and managing stress. I love my job, and I think I'm pretty good at what I do, and we'll hear more about it in future episodes. In our first episode, entitled Humboldt IPA, No, We Don't Make Beer, I talk with Rosemary Denouden, the CEO of the IPA. The IPA is not a household name, and yet the projects they run positively impact our entire community. This interview was recorded March 5th, which was before the shelter in place was enacted for COVID-19. So there are a few brief references to the coronavirus, but not as much as you'd expect during this time. During this interview, Rosemary tells us more about the name of the organization, the projects we run, and clarifies that although we do a lot of great things, we do not make beer.
Yeah, the Humboldt IPA, I'm always asked, oh, I love your beer, or do you make beer? No, we don't make beer. So the Humboldt Independent Practice Association is a physician-owned organization here in Humboldt County, and we've been in Humboldt County since the early 60s. We were formerly known as the Humboldt Del Norte Foundation for Medical Care. And as a physician organization, our primary focus is being a delegated medical group to administer health insurance. So Anthem HMO, Blue Shield HMO, and some self-funded plans. That is our foundational business, processing claims, doing authorizations for members, providing services to ensure that folks with that those insurance types have access to care here in Humboldt County. And we also work with our provider members to make sure we have a robust network of healthcare services here.
Thank you. The name to me implies that there are independent practices, but yet it seems that everything is owned by St. Joe's. So how... if you could speak a little bit more to how that's sure. still relevant today.
Sure. That's a great question. In 2020, our name is very misleading. But in 1994, when we developed the IPA, it was all independent practices. So it was, you know, onesie, twosie docs having small to medium sized practices that they were the owners and operators of their own businesses. And over time, that model has become extremely difficult to maintain. The IPA worked hard to work with independent providers to ensure that their business could stay relevant and solvent, doing a lot of quality improvement activities with providers over the years to help them. But the challenges of healthcare just became so enormous mm-hmm. that physicians could no longer remain solvent and sure. keep their businesses alive. So consolidations really started happening here in Humboldt County in the late 90s. A lot of practices joined open door community health centers. A lot of the primary care practices started joining open door at that time, as well as St. Joseph Health Medical Group acquiring specialty practices and some primary care practices. So The consolidation here in Humboldt has been good and bad. Good, we're still able to provide care. Bad, we don't have independent practices any longer. And that does limit some options for folks. You know, there is struggles, especially when you don't agree with policy decisions made in a large organization, or their values or beliefs, that it really limits folks' availability to for medical care and options for medical care. But in the big picture, the consolidation in Humboldt County has been a good thing. It's allowed for providers to still practice medicine here in Humboldt County.
Oh, that's good to know.
But I will say, you know, us as the Independent Practice Association, we've thought for a long time it might be time to change our name. And, you know, with only a few, you know, a handful of independent providers still here in Humboldt, it's becoming more of a thought.
Sure. A misleading.
Yes, it is very misleading. We don't make beer and we have no independent providers. So.
Right. So in all the things that you've described, what are some of the projects, since this podcast is highlighting positive projects that are impacting the community, can you speak a little bit to the projects going on that the IPA is backing that really does improve the quality of lives of people in Humboldt County?
Sure. And I'll start off by saying this project, having this podcast, is one of the ways that we see as having potential to not only influence the members that we serve, but the overall community. We see a lot of things that are going really, really well here in Humboldt County, and we want to use this platform as a way to promote those things. But the IPA has a long history of doing innovative work to improve health and well-being here in Humboldt County, going back to the early 90s when we launched what we called the Diabetes Project, which was probably around an 8 or 9 year project to work with local providers to ensure that they were delivering high quality care and consistent care around the treatment and diagnoses of diabetes. That took a lot of work and a lot of discovery, but at the end of that project, it really transformed how care was being delivered around the treatment for diabetes and diabetic patients. And we still see evidence of that project today. We've done other projects such as the Surgical Rate Project, which was a look into why certain procedures in Humboldt County were happening sometimes 4 to 5 times more here in Humboldt as compared to the rest of the state. And ultimately, because of that project, we developed the Shared Decision-Making Center that is housed out of Priority Care to offer folks free of charge a way to navigate those complicated decisions around medical treatment or surgical options so that they have all the information necessary to make the best decision for themselves and their family.
Right, because I can imagine that if you don't need surgery, you shouldn't have surgery. And to actually sit down with that decision can be very helpful for people to understand either, yes, you're confident that you are having surgery, or yes, you're confident in your decision to not have it.
Yeah, exactly. The other project that I'll talk about is the Priority Care Center. So that initiative started in 2009 and started as a intensive nurse case management program. And we had two nurses working with our most complicated members, you know, complicated meaning they had more than one chronic condition, to just help them navigate the healthcare system and navigate their treatment. Well, fast forward to today, and we have a thriving center. The Priority Care Center on Harrison offers a whole host of services, from primary care to wellness coaching, which you are a part of, Juliet.
Yes.
To mental health services, same day care, just the list goes on and on and on. And I am really proud of what Priority Care has become over the last 10 years, and that we are able to offer services to members of our insurance plans, and are working hard to expand that to be able to offer those services to more folks in our community.
That is really wonderful. And I am one of the wellness coaches at the Priority Care Center, and knowing the blood and sweat and tears that you personally put into the center, finding it and renovating it and being there every weekend and all the things that needed to get done. What would you say specifically on that project? And if you want to speak to the other projects, what drives you in the face of all the negativity and all the negative news that is surrounding Humboldt County? What is your driving force?
So I've been a part of healthcare for a long time, since I was 16, so almost 25 years or more. And over my, you know, my career, I've noticed, especially here in Humboldt County, that services are not available to everyone all the time, regardless of your ability to pay or if you have insurance. So when I joined the IPA and I noticed that our members were struggling to get things like wellness coaching or navigation around the complicated healthcare environment, it became really apparent that, you know, we need to offer those services to our members and have a robust, interdisciplinary center full of a team that can provide those services. And I've lived in Humboldt County now for 24 years, and I love it here. I absolutely love it. And Humboldt County has so much to offer, and it's such a beautiful environment, but there's so many things that we can do better. And so as a resident of this community, and I've raised my children here, but both of them are gone. They've moved outside of the area, and I would love for them to want to come back. Not that they have to, but I would love for them to say, yeah, I'd love to move home and raise their children.
Right, here. Love it as much as you do.
Yes. But honestly, I can't say that that would be the best choice for them. Mm-hmm. There's so many things that we have yet to improve here in Humboldt County. And being a part of the IPA gives me, gives all of our team, and gives others the opportunity to invest time and resource into how can we improve the health and well-being of Humboldt County. One of the other projects that the IPA is really invested in is the Opioid Safety Coalition, RX Safe Humboldt, and all of the work around substance use disorder here in Humboldt County. And that is something that we essentially volunteer our staff to work on. That's most of the time we have no reimbursement mechanism to support those initiatives. We do get grants from time to time. Our sister organization, the North Coast Health Improvement and Information Network, ENSHIN, gets grants to work on that. But the bottom line is we've recognized that there's needs, and we want to be a part of those solutions. So the IPA and ENSHIN continually looks for opportunities to fill the gaps, collaborate with others, coordinate with others, find solutions so that in 20, 30, 50 years, Humboldt County is still a thriving, wonderful place for people to live, work, and play.
It's wonderful. There's so many things that is behind those statements. There's a sense of fairness that's really what is bringing you to this place, that everybody deserves this wonderful, beautiful life. And there's also a sadness that strikes me that you wish it was better, and it's not there yet. Mm-hmm. And that's also the driving force to wanting it to be a much better place mm-hmm. to live and to raise your kids and grandkids.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, there's so many examples of how wonderful it is here. And you know, how much outdoor activities we have, the beauty of the environment, the rurality, which is something that most of us love here in Humboldt County. But simple things like, you know, after school activities for our kids, or, you know, social interactions and, you know, building a community. I think a lot of us moved to Humboldt County because we like to be alone. You know,
right.
we're most of us that, you know, are self-proclaimed hermits.
Right.
But we still need to, you know our neighbors, be able to say to our neighbors, hey, can you watch my house if I'm gone? Or can you feed my cat? And that's hard to get to the core of at times, why it doesn't feel like you can do that 100% of the time.
Right.
If you wanted to do that.
You're right. To live here, I've lived here for 10 years, and I've said that if you live here, you have to want to live here. You have to love it, because mm-hmm. it's a difficult place.
Yeah.
It's a difficult place to get to geographically. It's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that, like, as you're saying, hermit, but that hardness that allows you to live here,
mm-hmm.
it's also the hardness that would drive someone to want to stay alone. They don't need any help from anybody.
Yeah.
And yet we all do.
Yeah.
So that leads me to the biggest barriers to these lofty goals of making Humboldt County in 10, 20, 30, 50 years, this thriving place of health and more beautifulness.
Mm-hmm.
What are the barriers to that?
Well, I think one of the biggest barriers is what's called like negative social norming, right? We all have this narrative of it's so bad. We've got such substance use problems, homelessness, you know, nowhere for my kids to go after school, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And that just continues to be our narrative, both individually and professionally. And it's so easy to jump to, oh, it's so bad. But that's why I'm really hopeful for this podcast, that we can move past that and start telling the positive and having a more positive narrative. So I think that changing the script for all of us is a lofty goal, and that's very difficult and hard to really articulate how to do that. I think another thing is just elevating the willingness and the desire to work across sectors and really committing to doing that. And to say, you know, we're health, we're medical care, we're healthcare at the IPA, saying and accepting that medicine alone is not going to solve health and well-being.
Right. It's just a part.
It's just a part of it. And so we need to work as close as possible with our colleagues that are in social services, that are in those 0 to 5 early childhood development programs, our partners that are, you know, addressing food insecurity, transportation, everything,
mm-hmm.
our workforce development partners, because individually, none of us are going to solve this. You know, what makes me healthy is 1,000 different things,
right?
Not just medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, excuse me for interrupting this interview. This next question talks about empathy, and during editing, we thought it'd be helpful to offer a definition. Empathy is putting yourself in someone else's shoes. It's the ability to sense another person's emotions, along with being able to imagine what that person might be thinking or feeling. Okay, thanks. Back to the interview.
So if you could, what can one person do? Not everybody works in this role of being able to direct different partners mm-hmm. or lead an organization. Most people are just one person
yeah.
in their life. And lots of scenarios are, you know, if you're lucky enough to have a house, a dry, safe place to live, and you work and have a child that you're, you know, taking them to school every day. What can that one person do to make a difference in their own part of the world?
Increase their empathy and understanding of what others might be going through or dealing with. Because none of us know what is happening across the table. You know, we see people and we see their, what, you know, what they put out there, and we are so quick to make judgment and to say, well, yeah, we other people so quickly. Mm-hmm. And if we can for a moment just empathize with what somebody else is going through, and offer other people a helping hand or just a kind word, or that can be an extremely effective first step for us to say, okay, now what? Now what more can I do if I can understand and relate? And I think in today's climate, with, you know, the political climate and all the things that we're dealing with the coronavirus scare, I mean, it's really easy to say, we disagree, so I'm not going to even try to talk to you, or I don't agree with the decisions you've made across your life, so I'm not going to treat you as a human being. Mm-hmm. And again, that's so huge and so difficult, but, you know, when we're looking at all the programs that we have here at the IPA, or when we're developing, you know, educational opportunities or other things, empathy building is a big part of what we do and try to do. Because as healthcare professionals, if we're not empathetic to those that we are serving, we fail. We fail.
It's two levels.
Yeah.
It's that sympathy versus empathy.
Yes.
Oh, I feel so bad for you.
Yeah.
Versus, gosh, what happened to you?
Yeah. 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 And, you know, and it can be as simple as noticing that you haven't seen your neighbor in a few days. Mm-hmm. Knocking on the door, you know, learning about that person, or, you know, so many little things. This podcast, the Humboldt IPA, our partners, you know, we have specific projects, you know, reducing the overdose rate through the opioid project, improving mammography rates within our priority care center, or, you know, improving, you know, folks' medication adherence. We have like tangible, measurable things that we look at improving, both in the folks that we directly impact and our community. But that's just kind of chipping away at the edges. You know, the harder part is, how do we build the skills within our workforce, within our staff, within our partner staff, so that as we're interacting with somebody and trying to get their mammogram, how are we figuring out what else is going on and investing our time and attention into those things? Because, yeah, improving mammogram rates and, of course, improving or decreasing overdose rates are very important, and we definitely have to do work in those specific areas. But we also want to figure out, how do we pull back the layers of the onion of the individual and get to the core issues?
Right. Starting much earlier. It sounds like intervening at a much earlier time. Mm-hmm. And there's a saying that I like, you know, the best time to plant a tree is 10 years ago, and the second best time is today. So if we can go back and erase, if we can go back and help kids, then that's wonderful.
Yeah.
But we have adults and seniors in our community as well.
Yes.
So that's wonderful to go back and work with kids. And then all these other projects are also working with everyone where they are, meeting them where they are.
That's exactly right. And you, as one of our wellness coaches, I've heard you talk about how you work with your patients. And, you know, it is individual, and getting to that where people are or what that core issue is difficult, but not impossible. Mm-hmm. And so I would ask you a question.
Okay.
What can you, you know, if you had one thing that you would say to folks around this topic, you know, how do you get to the place of meeting people where they are or trying to get to what that core issue is?
That's a very good question. Mm-hmm. And I would agree with you that empathy for others and empathy for ourselves is so important. It's so special to give someone space to listen to them and not be thinking of the next thing I'm going to say, to really sit with them in celebration and in despair. Yeah. And to give them the respect of that silence is so powerful. And that's why I think I'm so good at what I do, because people really feel, no matter what happens in the sessions, they walk away and they say, oh, I just feel so much better, or I feel a little better. I feel better than I walked in. Those are common comments, regardless of what came out. And it's really just listening. I'm not doing anything. I don't do anything. It's a conversation. It's questions. And it's the reflecting back to let them know, yes, I just heard what you've said in a really deep way. And I'm going to guess what you're saying. I'm guessing what you're feeling.
Yeah, that is so powerful. The reminder to listen. You know, and as you were saying, I was trying not to think about the next thing. But as you were saying that, I was reflecting back to, you know, in 1964 when, you know, a group of physicians formed this company. They probably had nowhere near the thoughts that we have today. They could probably never in their wildest dreams imagine what this company would have become. You know, back in 1964, we were organized for a completely different reason. But at that time, there was the desire to provide medical care in a high quality, cost effective manner. That was our mission back then, and it is still today. But we're doing it in a way that is allowing for the patient to explore what else makes them well. It's more than medical care. And I'm proud that this company has evolved to that, you know, over our history. And yeah, we still are very much involved in the delivery of medicine. But being able to offer wellness coaching or resources to our community or the platform to address collectively our biggest issues is what we really strive to do. And I'm proud of that. And I'm proud that, you know, we have you on our staff. We have Joe on our staff, who's here in the room with us recording. And it's just, it's amazing. And I would hope that those docs in the early 60s, some of them are still around, would look at what we are doing today with pride and proud that the IPA has become what we have and will be.
Yeah, the mission,
the future.
As you said, the mission is the same. Mm-hmm. We've adapted to the different issues in our community, and that's really how we succeed.
Yep.
And how we set ourselves apart.
Yep, exactly.
Thank you. So one or two more questions. Is there a specific, and all the things that you've mentioned, is there a specific project or accomplishment in your career that you would consider to be the most significant or something that really changed the course? Maybe it's even just a story of something that really changed your course of direction or looked at something a different way, something that you consider to be significant.
Well, I think that the work that we're doing around opioid safety has really transformed my perspective. Before we started that project back in 2013, you know, I'm not ashamed to admit it, but I was othering. You know, I was not as, I wasn't knowledgeable. And you know, that's not, you know, people lack the knowledge because they haven't been told or they haven't been offered that opportunity to learn more about a particular subject. So I was lacking the knowledge that, you know, addiction is not a moral failing. And, you know, and I grew up a particular way, like we all do. And, you know, it was, I was othering, and it was, you know, they were pulling themselves up by their bootstraps well enough, or, you know, they were making those poor choices, and that's not it. You know, addiction is a disease, just like diabetes, just like all other diseases that we deal with. And there's treatment, and we should be offering treatment, and we should not be stigmatizing folks because of their condition. And that was a process for me that, and I'm happy that I was a part of this process, and I'm happy that we can continue to be a part of the process to destigmatize folks that are struggling. We all have addictions, whether it's to food or our cell phone or whatever it may be, or we have, you know, we use something too much. And folks that have struggles around substances and, you know, opioids or tobacco or methamphetamines or food or alcohol is one of our biggest killers in this country. And yet we don't really lump that in with the opioid epidemic or with heroin.
It's more socially acceptable.
Yeah, it totally is. So the work in RX Safe Humboldt has really has caused me to shift my perspective on a personal level.
I was going to say, it sounds like there is a personal story there,
sure,
whether you want to share that or not, but it sounds like there really is. That's one of the ways that we can all shift our views of others, is to look at ourselves and then look at our community members and realize that those people on the streets were somebody's child at one point. They were 2 years old. They were sleeping in a crib at some point.
That's exactly right. I mean, I don't think anybody goes through their life and think, yeah, that's the life I want to choose for myself. If it was my children, if it was somebody that I love that was struggling, I would want everything done or made available to them to keep them alive. If that is clean needles or naloxone readily available, it would be horrible to lose your child or your loved one because something was not available for them. Nobody in their right mind would say, oh, we're not going to give you insulin because, you know, you're just making wrong food choices.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to get to a place around substance use that is on that same level. So, you know, my thinking is evolving all the time. You know, I think it's important as human beings to do what you can to educate yourself and become aware and understand all sides. You know, you and I probably have a lot of different opinions about things, but I want to learn about your opinions because, yeah, I might not agree with it, but they're just as valid, and you're going to help me understand another perspective on a deeper level. And that's what we need to do. And folks need to really understand why they have those beliefs and consider why they're so resistant to change or treating people like they should be treated. So that was pivotal for me. You know, also another pivotal moment that really caused me to invest a lot of investment of my time and resources was the fact that in a lot of communities, the underserved are folks that don't have insurance or have Medi-Cal. And we are blessed in this community that we have healthcare providers and other systems that have provided a ton of resources for the traditionally underserved. Mm-hmm. People with commercial insurance, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, others, oftentimes are the underserved. Mm-hmm. Right now it's extremely challenging to find a primary care provider if you have a commercially insured plan.
Yes.
You're not going to have most of the time access to a mental health provider right there in the clinic. You're not going to have access to other alternative modalities like wellness coaching or exercise classes if you have a commercial plan. Mm-hmm. So that was a pivotal moment with the realization that we all need access to services regardless of what insurance type you have. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are a lot of folks that have commercial insurance that have the means to pay for that out of their own pocket. And that's great. But there are a lot of people that have an Anthem or Blue Shield product that are making minimum wage or less, or have purchased their product off the exchange and do not have the means to pay for those other services. So it's why we have priority care. It's why we invest in ensuring that everyone has access regardless. Mm-hmm. So that was another big one for me.
Right. Again, that concept of fairness and not just assuming that just because you have this or you don't have this, that you need this or you don't need mm-hmm. that. Letting people make the decisions for themselves.
Correct.
What would you say is something that you would consider your best mistake?
I don't have a specific examples, but I say it a lot. Fail often and fail fast. You know, our organization is one that takes pride in our quality improvement efforts. It's extremely hard to work to improve a process or develop systems to improve healthcare. And we're going to fail all the time. We're going to try something. It's not going to work. And so we're going to try again and try again and try again. So I have a ton of failures. We all do.
Yes,
and I celebrate those because we're learning from all of those. So I don't have a long list of failures on my mental list because we're learning from those I'm viewing those as actually successes in knowing the opportunities to do it a little different next time, not better. I mean, if we're constantly striving for perfection, we're never going to get there. We're never going to get there. So fail often, fail fast. That's sort of one of our unspoken mantras here within the organization. And we've learned a lot. We've had a lot of unsuccessful projects here in the IPA. But every one of those has led to doing it a little better the next time.
Sure, it taught you a different way. I was just telling a story yesterday that one of the best things I've ever read was a book called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And in this book, it was this concept of that there's no mistakes. So if you take road A, you'll learn these things. And maybe you regret not taking road B, but you've learned so many things on road A, and then you say, I'm going to see what road B looks like. Mm-hmm. And so when you start to reframe, there are no mistakes. It's pretty freeing. You don't have to be so afraid of like, what if I make a mistake? What if this doesn't work out? So what? It's fine.
Yeah. And I know that's easier for some. I tend to be one that just walks down the path and sees what comes and respond to those things rather than
hemming and hawing.
Yeah. And, you know, and again,
I'm a hammer and a
hawer. You know, I also plan for the worst and am happy when that doesn't happen.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm not one that constantly is worrying about, oh gosh, is this going to fail? Well, yeah, it probably will.
Right.
But we're going to learn a lot along the way. And that's the beauty of this company is we give folks the space to do that and to have the opportunity to explore their passions and try things and see if it works or not. that's not a space that a lot of people find comfort in. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have had staff come and go over the years that they just can't thrive in that kind of environment. Right. That's okay.
That's okay.
That's okay.
But comfortable with the uncomfortable.
Exactly.
You've mentioned it before, but what is your hope for this podcast?
That people that listen will have something to take away from each and every episode. I'm hoping that we can have pearls of wisdom or tips or resources that are tangible. You know, I've talked a lot, you know, I've been at like the 50,000 foot level through most of our conversation here. I'm hoping you as the host and the people that you bring to this podcast will have little gems that people can put away in their toolbox for a future use, both for healthcare professionals and, you know, and professionals that we work with and the community. So this is a podcast for everybody. This is not a podcast for just people that are working in this space. This is for everybody. And I'm excited about you being our host because you bring such perspective and resource around wellness because, you know, health is more than medicine. It's more than doing exercise and eating well. It's so much more. So my hope is that this podcast will go on for long as it will, and that people will really be able to take away something from it each and every time.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Yes, thank you.
Our next episode will have a few themes, including ways to take care of our mental health, which is a good reminder for all of us, especially during this trying time. Our hope for this podcast is that perhaps it can offer you hope. Hope that there are good things happening around us. Hope that we'll come out on the other side stronger. For the time being, let's just focus on the basics. Getting decent rest and fresh air, and being kind to ourselves and others. The Priority Care Center is located on Harrison Avenue in Eureka, and provides primary care and other services for patients with the following insurance types: Anthem PPO, Blue Shield, Anthem Blue Cross, HMO, and Blue Lake Rancheria. You can follow us on the Priority Care Facebook page. Thank you for listening to Humboldt HealthCast, brought to you ad-free by the Humboldt Independent Practice Association. Our host is me, Juliet Ferry. Our editor is Joseph Burkett. Original music created by Justin Locke. Our producers are Irina Essez, Jessica Osborne Staffness, Mary Nickel, Patty Torres, and Vanessa Verdiak. Special thanks to Rosemary Denouden for making this project possible. Please share, subscribe, rate, and comment. We are always looking to improve and welcome your feedback. Be part of the good, Humboldt.